Jude, verses 20 and following, beginning with verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. We have been looking at this little book of Jude, and when we began, we noted that Jude had two major purposes, and he diverted from the one to get into the other. They are given to us in verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, that was Jude's first purpose, to write about the common salvation we have in Christ. But Jude goes on to say, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And Jude had a particular reason for this, which he gives in verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas spent a great deal of time talking about these individuals whom he is warning the believers about, who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Lord Jesus Christ. And for this reason, some of you, I know, have felt that the book is a little bit negative because Jude bears down on this aspect of his purposes. And some of you have said to me, well, now, Denny, especially because you've talked about the reprobate a little bit, aren't you going to talk about assurance? Aren't you going to give us a little bit about assurance of salvation? And lo and behold, Jude does just that in our text this morning. And I think that's really the nub of it, the essence of it. As he once again says, But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, if we're truly to keep ourselves in the love of God and to practice the things that Jude talks about, in the end, we're going to be working on this whole matter of sanctification and on this whole matter of assurance of salvation. And that's the direction we're going in our text this morning. And so I say at the head of the outline, you've seen the warnings with regard to the reprobate. Since this is the case, make every effort to keep yourself in the love of God. That's the basic exhortation that is set before us. And as you do so, you will be working, dear friends in Christ, on this whole matter of assurance of salvation before God. So let's look at our text in this light, Jude verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. And as I say, the central exhortation is in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Not all the versions indicate it the same way, but the New American Standard Version, I think, gives us a good translation and shows us that this is the central exhortation. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And the way we do this is building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. That's how these verses fit together. And then we'll add verses 22 and 23. But as we look at verse 21 to start off with, and this basic exhortation, keep yourselves in the love of God, I want to remind you of the fact that regeneration, the new birth, is a sovereign work of God, and in distinction, sanctification, which is the real subject of the lesson today, is a cooperative effort, and sanctification is quite essential. You see, this is what our text is talking about. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's talking about sanctification. And the new birth is different. You realize that that's the case, do you not? The new birth is a one-time act of God, where God, in His sovereign work, changes our hearts and changes our dispositions so that we desire to walk after Him. And we don't do that on our own. You know, the big difference between approaches to Scripture today come down really at this point. Because the popular way of presenting the gospel today is something like this. If you believe in Jesus, then you will be born again. In other words, if you exercise faith, you will be given a new heart by God. Well, that's the popular presentation. The biblical presentation is actually just the reverse. That if God in His grace gives you a new heart and changes your heart and alters your disposition, you will have faith to embrace Christ. And there's all the difference in the world. All the difference between salvation which is manufactured by us and salvation which is given of God solely. And when we realize that there is sanctification which comes out of a new heart which is given by God, that there is sanctification which comes as a result of a new disposition which is given by God, we are able to follow the injunction which Jude sets before us. It's not something that we ever do on our own effort. It's not something that we ever do in and of ourselves. Look at Jude 21 again. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The text is really saying, guard yourselves. Guard yourselves in this capacity as one beloved of God. And that's how Jude began, beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been emphasized several times in this little book. And when we realize that we're loved of God, and the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us, then we launch forward and desire to live for Him. And we want to follow this exhortation. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, let's look at it a little bit further then. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do it? Well, this brings us to the second point in the outline. Keep yourselves in the love of God by building yourselves up in the faith and by praying. You see, this takes us back to verse 20. But beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. You see the connection? So one way that we keep ourselves in the love of God, one way that we follow the injunction which is given in verse 21, is by building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Now, what is this faith? Well, it's the very thing that Jude spoke of earlier in verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. It's that faith, not so much the subjective believing, but that body of faith, that faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, building ourselves up in that faith, that body of understanding which was brought to us by God through Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And how do you build yourselves up in the faith? Well, you have to go to the Scriptures, first of all. You have to go to that body of the faith which is in the Scriptures, which is embodied in the Scriptures, and study the Scriptures. In our class this morning, we had a good time looking at Psalm 110 and the priesthood of Melchizedek, and how Genesis speaks of the priesthood of Melchizedek, and how Psalm 110 speaks of Jesus Christ. David speaks of the Messiah, prophesying that Jesus Christ would be of the order of Melchizedek, and how the book of Hebrews explains that and draws out the implications that the order of Melchizedek was absolutely unique, that the order of Melchizedek was an order of priesthood that was rooted in the power of God, not in some earthly establishment. That's part of the faith. And as we come together to study the Word of God and to learn the Word of God, we build one another up in the faith. And it's absolutely imperative that we do so. That's why we come together for worship. That's why we study the Bible on our own. That's why we ought to pray together in our families. That's why we ought to teach our children the things of God, to build one another up in the most holy faith. And when we do so, we keep ourselves in the love of God. The Psalms that we have been singing this morning speak about the love of God, the steadfast love of God, the covenant love of God. And when we study about the covenant in Scripture, and when we understand that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies which were given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of the covenant, and that we are in a covenant relationship with God, and that as a result we have responsibilities before God. When we understand these things and act upon these things and teach these things to one another, we build one another up in the faith. And as we do so, we keep ourselves in the love of God. What else does Jude tell us? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. One of the ways that we keep ourselves in the love of God is by praying. And Jude adds, praying in the Holy Spirit. And how do we pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll tell you, one of the ways that we pray in the Holy Spirit is pray by the power of the Spirit fervently before God. And if there is fervor born of the Holy Spirit because you are united to Jesus Christ, there is prayer in the Holy Spirit. And another way that you pray in the Holy Spirit is praying according to the will of God. You know, it's very interesting that the Apostle John says that if we pray in accordance with the will of God, God hears us, and He not only hears us, but we receive that for which we pray. And the best way to understand the will of God is to understand the book of God, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It's one of the great things that was given to us by the Spirit. And so if we pray
in the Spirit, according to the Spirit. We are going to pray according to the will of God, which is given to us in the will of God. For example, the Apostle Paul says that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. This is a universal declaration. Do you know anyone who is in need of repentance? Okay. Can you pray for that person? That God would call them to repentance and bring them to repentance? The Bible says that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. And so if you pray in accordance with that declaration, you are praying in accordance with the will of God. You are praying in accordance with the Spirit of God. And that's how we ought to pray. The Bible says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. You see, there that sanctification is absolutely essential. And if we do not grow in grace, if we do not follow the path of sanctification, we will not see the Lord. The Word of God says, be at peace with all men, and pursue the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Oh God, give us grace and strength to pursue sanctification. Give us grace and strength to pursue the basic injunction that's set before us in this text. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Pray in accordance with the Word of God. Study the Word of God and order your prayers in accordance with the Word of God. And you will keep yourselves in the love of God. And then verse 21 goes on to say, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. You not only keep yourselves in the love of God by praying fervently in the Holy Spirit and building yourselves up in the most holy faith, but you also keep yourselves in the love of God by waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And as I put it in the outline, keep yourselves in the love of God by consciously living in the light of eternity. You know, I think this is something that is very much lacking in our culture and in our society today. We really do live in a secular society. That means that we live for the now. We live for the present, not for the future. And it's very interesting that the baby boom generation generally is a generation which is consuming on itself and desirous of consuming everything and leaving little behind. That's where we are in our culture. We're living for the present. And what does the Bible call us to do? Well, our text again. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of God at the coming of Jesus Christ. Looking to eternity. Living in light of eternity. Is that where you are? You see, I think if we would live in the light of eternity, we would live quite differently. If our governmental leaders would live in the light of eternity, they would live quite differently. If our business leaders would live in light of eternity, they too would live quite differently. Now I know some of you here, as I look at you, have grown children, and the little children, when they're small, look at the adults and think to themselves, boy, that's a long way off, isn't it? To grow up and be the age of mom and dad. And when you're mom and dad and you look back, you think to yourself, it didn't take very long at all to get to this place. It came pretty quickly. And it is true. And we always wonder about those older folks who say, the time is really flying. It's going by so quickly. And it is true. And in light of eternity, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years is the blink of an eye. It really is. And the time is fleeting. This is why Paul tells us, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And so we need to live in light of eternity. And when we live in light of eternity, we realize that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And one day, at that judgment seat, the final disposition of our souls, the final disposition of our souls, will come to a fork in the road. And when we live in light of eternity, we realize that that'll be the case. And we live for Christ. And we keep ourselves, say, in the love of God. And that's what our text is about. Look at it again. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And then Jude adds, have mercy on some who are doubting. Be merciful. Be a person who is full of mercy and compassion. Understand, as I say in the fourth point, how you ought to behave towards those who are in doubt. And it's interesting how the New American Standard Version does translate this. Have mercy on some who are doubting, some who are having a difficulty with this whole proposition of assurance of salvation. You don't go in on people like this, like a bull in a china shop. You don't do that. You go in gently and mercifully, lovingly. This is what Jude is telling us. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles to an example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you would please, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25. This is a text that's come home to me quite often in the past days and weeks.
2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. How are we to behave as bondservants of Christ? Should we be quarrelsome? Not at all. We should be kind to all. I'm often asked the question, how should I act toward this person or toward that person? I was asked probably 2 or 3 years ago by a fellow pastor how he and his family should act toward a son in the family who was a confessed homosexual. How should we act toward this individual? And I said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to treat that son, that brother, just like you would treat any other individual who bears the image of God. That person is due all the respect you would give to such a person, all the courtesy you would give to such a person. And I believe that's the case. You should treat them with all kindness. See? And that's exactly what Paul is saying. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, being patient. We have talked about that a little bit too, haven't we? That when we are wronged, we need to bear up and exercise a great deal of patience, even as God does. How often has God been wronged? How often was Jesus Christ Himself wrong? And does God exercise patience toward you? Does He exercise patience towards me? Indeed He does. And the patience of God, Paul says, is designed to bring us to repentance. The patience of God. Not the upbraidings, but the patience. And there's all the difference in the world there also. Patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And so, going back to Jude and verse 22, have mercy on some who are doubting. As God has been merciful to you, embrace others with mercy and compassion and patience and gentleness. Follow the Word of God. And I say to you that as you do so, you will be keeping yourselves in the love of God also. And then there is verse 23. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. You see, others who are manifesting a stubbornness and a rebellion, you treat a little bit differently. And the commentators say this, warn others of their sin to save them from eternal destruction. You confront them with their sin in an upfront and pointed way, those who are stubborn. And that's important too. Why? Because this is the way, Jude says, you may snatch them from the fire. And you know as well as I do that after you have worked with an individual for a time and you have patiently given them your perspective, and hopefully it's God's perspective, and they are obdurate and stubborn, you must be more forthright. And you must be confrontational. And that's exactly what Jude is saying. Because this is the only way that they may be snatched from destruction. And that's the bottom line, isn't it? Because destruction does await. And so we have Again in verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. At the same time, with fear and reverence, approaching others, knowing that you full well could fall easily into the same sin. And I can too. And so I have to work at it. And be cautious. And as we said last week, take the telephone pole out of my own eye first before I take the speck out of my brother's eye. Guard myself. Keep myself in the love of God. You see, friends, finally, all this has to do with sanctification and with assurance of salvation. You see, what Jude has been doing all along is pointing out on one side what the life of those who reject Jesus Christ is like. Let's review it real quickly here. Verse 4 says that there are those who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says they are like those whom God left behind in the wilderness because of their disobedience. They are like those angels who fell away in unbelief. They are like those of Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 7. Verse 11, Jude says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. They have perished in the rebellion of Korah. What a picture is given. And then Jude turns the tables. Verse 17, but you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last times there will be mockers. Yes, this is the case. So don't be surprised. And verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, don't be like all of these other people that have been described. Be quite the opposite. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And do this, how? By building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, helping those who doubt, and witnessing to others to snatch them out of the fire that leads to destruction. And as you do so, you will keep yourself in the most holy faith. As you practice these things, as you live these things, and there will be assurance which is built up in your life. Actually, it's quite simple. And it boils down to this. Follow Christ, you won't have problems. That's what it boils down to. Keep yourself in the love of God, you won't have problems. Let me put it this way. Keep a clear conscience, and you won't have problems. Keep a clear conscience. In other words, live for Christ. Be obedient to Christ by the grace of God. Keep your conscience clear before God. When you do sin, flee to Christ, ask for forgiveness, and walk with Him as an obedient servant. And you'll have no problems. That's it. And it seems to me it's quite simple. And so I say, finally, all of this does have to do with sanctification and your assurance of salvation. Are you in Christ? Live it. Let's pray together.
Father, thanks for these words of Jude. Thank you that we may go through them. And it's in a rather hurried fashion. But I pray, Father, that we might learn from the basic outline that Jude gives us, and that we might keep ourselves in your love. And that we might do so, Father, by building ourselves up in the faith, and by praying, and by living in light of eternity, by helping those who doubt, and by taking the gospel to those who are in need. We might do these things. And in this way, Father, keep ourselves close to you. Grant us the grace, we pray, that's necessary in this venture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.